and welcome to the 99th episode of the Pop Pop a Napcast. I'm your host, TJ Deitch, and this is the podcast that I record ostensibly while my children are sleeping, but in this case, they're over at my parents' house while I get some work and some other stuff done that I will talk about in a little bit. It's been a while again, not as long as it was between the previous episode and the one before that, but I do enjoy doing these podcasts. It's just a matter of finding the time, and right now I have some, so I'm going to knock it out. First off, and most primary to, you know, our more recent experiences, is the fact that we just got back from our very first vacation to the Jersey Shore. My wife, our two kids, and I went down with her parents. We vacation with them quite a bit. About once a summer, we'll rent a house somewhere. In the past, it's been a few different places in New England. That's where they're from, and my in-laws grew up there, so they've got some experience, and it's been really neat to kind of experience that. But in this case, we got a house down the shore, as people here say, to my chagrin, because my wife's company did like a raffle or a silent auction, and she was able to get a house for a pretty reasonable discounted price, and we went and we had a pretty good time. We left two Saturdays back and then came back on Saturday. I kind of like doing it that way. We did leave very early on Saturday, which was rough, but I mean, we've got two little kids, so leaving early isn't as big of a chore as it would have been, you know, 5 years ago. But the drive down was fine. It was only about 2 hours. It was a little house. We stayed in the top floor, the bottom floor. You can rent the whole thing, but the deal was for the top. There was three bedrooms and then a porch. I slept on the porch because my wife slept with the baby in that room and the parents, the whole thing. And it was actually pretty nice. There was a couple days where it was really hot, so the porch wasn't quite comfortable. And I did actually accidentally break a window out there. It's not technically my fault, but I was the agent of its destruction because I tried cranking open a window that didn't apparently want to be open. I cranked it open one night, I walked back over to the bed to read, and all of a sudden I hear ksh, and the window shattered. We took care of it the next day. I talked to the owner, who was happened to be there that day, and we got it taken care of. We wrapped it up in a garbage bag, and she's going to have it fixed. She wasn't mad, even though I did spend much of that day and part of the night before worried sick. Literally worried sick, my stomach hurt, about telling this person what happened, which is weird. You know, I'm not like a little kid, you know, in trouble, but like breaking that bad news, I think, was something I didn't want to do. That's kind of how it was when I was a kid. Also, like, it wasn't necessarily the getting in trouble part of it. It was the actually like letting someone know that something bad happened. But, you know, once it got taken care of, it was fine. The rest of the vacation was really cool. We were kind of down by the location, Seaside Heights, which is where they shot part of the Jersey Shore, which is a show my wife and I watched quite a bit. I think we saw most of the episodes. And so we actually went to Seaside Heights, which is about 5-10 minutes away, walked around a little bit. We also hit our 9-year anniversary while we were there, and Father's Day too. So happy belated Father's Day to everybody. And a happy anniversary again to my wife. And so we took one day to kind of walk around. We played putt-putt. There's a putt-putt set up on top of a lot of the stands on the boardwalk, which was kind of cool. And so we had fun with that. We saw the house. We kind of got an idea of where everything was. It's interesting, though, like how TV can kind of, and how things are shot can play with your perspective, your mental, like, map of how things are set up. Like, actually seeing it in person was surprising because early on we didn't realize that like the house was right behind the t-shirt store that they worked in, or that the deck is actually on top of the t-shirt store and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, none of that really matters, but it was kind of fun seeing that on our anniversary when we got to hang out a little bit. And we also got a little other time to kind of go off and have drinks and some oysters another night, which was cool. So we had a good time. There were definitely some trouble, some difficult times with Jack. The first day we were there, like into the second day, he was really just mad. He's been getting really mad lately, which is kind of strange because he can move and do so much more now than he could. But I think his lack of communication might be starting to annoy him, and the fact that like he can do some stuff physically, but he's not necessarily as tall or as fast or as, you know, mobile as he wants to be. He's crawling at a pretty good clip, even though he's got kind of a funky crawl. But he just gets so mad so quickly. And, you know, I remember saying in previous episodes that he seems like he's more advanced than his little body, you know, will let on. I think mentally he is. And I think that leads to a lot of frustration, some of which was probably alleviated by crawling. But then you get into a whole new area of frustrations when, you know, that doesn't quite live up to your expectations. So off and on, he was okay. There were times where I was actually able to just lay down with him on the bed in my wife's room, and he would fall asleep, which has never happened before. But that hasn't really carried over to home, and his sleep's been really crazy lately. So I don't really know what the deal was with him or what the deal is with him at the moment, but hopefully we can kind of figure out what's going on with him. I don't know if it's a pain thing. It could be a growing pain. We try to give him the baby Tylenol when it seems like his teeth hurt. But, I mean, you don't know what is going on in their little bodies or their brains or heads or anything like that. So it's hard to gauge. But, you know, we're doing our best. But, yeah, overall it was fun. I mean, we had a good location. The house wouldn't really suit us again for another year. We'll probably need more space. But the town, it was called Lavalette. Never, you know, none of us had ever been down there, but it was really nice. It reminded me a lot of kind of the cottage area, the lake area where my dad grew up, and his grandparents had a cottage, and then his parents now have a cottage, and they still have a place there where it's like some people have been there for decades. The three houses in a row, the one that we stayed in and the two on either side, like, have known each other since they were kids. And it was kind of dead during the week. I guess it's like that during June anyway, because it's not usually that hot. I mean, we had like a 90-degree day, so we got kind of lucky with the weather, quote-unquote lucky. I'm not quite a fan of that much heat, but it was neat. It was I didn't think that the Jersey Shore was like it's shown on the show Jersey Shore. That's a very specific kind of experience that you can have if you want to, I assume, but not necessarily the way everything is all the time. But I didn't expect it to be quite so, like, homey, which was cool. So we would definitely like to go back there. It's also got a neat location because on one side is a bay and on the other side is the ocean. So we went to both. Although I will say, I don't like beaches. I've discovered, you know, I grew up on lakes, so that's kind of what I'm used to. But, like, the whole idea of, like, packing all your stuff up, driving or walking somewhere kind of far away, sitting around in a bathing suit on a towel in the beating sun, surrounded by sand and salty water, is just not my cup of tea. In this case, the waves were really high. They're actually some of the biggest waves I've ever seen. I mean, I don't have a lot of ocean experience, but, you know, for what it's worth. Jack hated the sand and the water. He's not much of a fan of being outside, actually, like, even less so than I am. And Lucy didn't want to go in the water. We think she's kind of in that scared of water phase. Our friend had a kid who's like 3 or 4 years older than Lucy, but she was kind of the first little kid I'd been around. I used to babysit for her every now and then, that kind of stuff. And she was a total water baby one summer, and then the next one didn't want to go anywhere near it, just stayed on the steps of the pool. And Lucy's never been one to like want to really go deep or anything. She never really put her swim lessons to use that she had. But I think we're probably in that kind of comparable summer where she's not really interested in going in the water. So, you know, I like the water. I like the waves. I wouldn't mind going out in them. But, you know, even with four people and two kids, four adults and two kids, you got to kind of spread, you know, the responsibility around and make sure everybody's okay. But yeah, it really wasn't my thing. I stood around a while. Lucy just wanted to kind of play in the sand, and Jack just sat in this kind of, like, pup tent type thing that we had, and then we were just sitting around, and after a little while, I was like, you guys, I'm gonna go, and luckily, we were close enough that I could just walk back, but I'm not comfortable in that kind of setting. I don't like the sand. It gets everywhere. I don't like being out in the beating sun that much, and that was, like, one of the hottest days, and no clouds or anything like that, so it just wasn't my scene. But I did appreciate how close we were to the beach. And if you got a house, obviously, closer, it would be even closer. Wow, what a pointless sentence. But, you know, you could get a place that would be a little bit more, you know, suitable to my likes. Not that we necessarily will conform to that. We also don't really know how expensive these things are at this point. But it was neat. It was a good trip. Everybody seemed to have a good time. We had some really good food. There was good ice cream. There's like one basic strip in La Valette, one street, and you know, you can walk up and get whatever you want. And there's stores and restaurants and all that kind of stuff. And so it was a good trip. It was nice to get away. But coming home was kind of a funny experience. I think that's the longest we've been away from this house since we moved in, maybe, or at least the longest that we've been away in a while. Because I think we were in New Hampshire visiting Em's parents for probably about a week or so around Christmas, I think. But it's been a while, and it was funny. As soon as we got back into the house, for one thing, everything felt huge because, you know, we were staying in an upstairs tiny place. So everything here felt huge. I mean, we've got a big house. It's spacious to begin with, but like the bathroom felt huge, the rooms felt huge, and the TV felt huge because we were all watching this little tiny TV that had terrible volume control, which was a bummer. But the other thing that I noticed right away pretty much was that the old lady smell is still prominent in this house. We're just super used to it by now. You know, there was the people that built this house basically lived here the whole time, and so that kind of develops a certain scent. And so even though we've pulled down most of the paneling upstairs and all that kind of stuff, it was still here, which I, you know, my wife and I both kind of laughed about that because it was a little bit unexpected, but also funny. And while we were gone, my parents came and took care of the cat, and they very nicely, you know, planted some plants that we had outside and cleaned the kitchen. And I mean, just took care of things really well. Unfortunately, the weekend before we left, everybody got sick but me. I was planning on spending like Saturday and Sunday just kind of like rolling through the house, cleaning, doing errands, getting things done inside and outside, all this stuff. I like every week I start a list of things that I need to clean and do my best to knock everything off, but almost never succeed. And I think I had one of those all set, and then my wife got pretty sick. So, with like a stomach thing. So on like, I don't remember if it was Saturday or Sunday, but I took Lucy with me to run a bunch of errands. 'Cause Jack had like a cold, but not necessarily the same thing that she did, I think. So they kind of hung out and took a nap. Lucy went out with me. And then by the time we got back, I was like, all right, let's just go to the comic book store. And the comic book store is about 20, 30 minutes away. I don't know if I've talked about it on here. They've got like a, your kind of basic store upstairs, but they've got a pretty good kids section of comics. And then all the new stuff and trades and like pricier back issues. And then they have a basement where they have like quarter and dollar books, which are my jam. I went there a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago at this point, and like just combed through stuff for like an hour or two and had a great time. I call it comic book therapy or quarter bin therapy. And I was feeling a little stressed out, so I figured I'd go. Although taking both kids, I knew that it wasn't going to be nearly as immersive as it has been in the past. But Lucy had been getting more and more interested in comics, which was something that I, of course, am fully supportive of. So we went. And I figured I'd get her a couple things. And so she saw some My Little Pony Friendship is Magic comics. And so I suggested that we get the trade. The first one from IDW, that's what we grabbed. And then she got a Garfield comic, which is funny because it's a comic that I interviewed the writer about like a couple months ago. You know, the way comics work is that they're announced several months ahead of when they actually come out. So the interviews take place, you know, around then, and then they eventually, you know, make their ways to the stores. So that, I thought that was kind of funny. And then I grabbed a issue of like Batman Adventures with Batgirl on it, 'cause I thought that might be neat. I also, through an awesome friend, got my hands on some Archie comics that she had never really heard of Archie. Pretty much everything else that she's seen in comic book form is like a licensed property or a tie-in to a cartoon. But this was something kind of new, and she's definitely interested. She kind of just looks at the pictures. I think it's still a little difficult for her to understand, you know, the panel structure of a comic book. She kind of looks at the picture altogether, or the page altogether, and, like, picks out the panel she likes best and wants to know about that one. So I try to, like, point at each panel and each picture. But it's still a little tricky, but the interest is there. So she got some stuff, and I thought that was cool. I went downstairs with them both, because Jack was with me. I was just kind of holding him, and Lucy was just kind of walking around. And I started kind of flipping through a quarter bin when she said she had to go to the bathroom, which turned out to not be true. we went over to McDonald's after that, where she said she didn't have to go potty, but we then got some food. And it wound up being a pretty good day. But I got to say, it was difficult to take care of all that stuff when I, you know, wanted to get other stuff done, knowing that the vacation was coming up soon. And with the idea that I very well might have been getting sick in the next couple of days. But luckily, I avoided it. Em, Lucy, and Jack all got a little bit of it here and there, got sick with either colds or a stomach bug, and somehow I made it through. I mean, people who kind of follow the blog, poppapa.com, or the photo diaries, or even the podcast, will remember that, like, I have the, or I had the immune system of, like, a person who'd lived in a clean room for the past 20, 30 years. I, you know, since I worked from home, I wasn't exposed to as many germs, and I think that really lowered my ability to fight anything off. Once Lucy came along and started interacting with other kids, she was like Typhoid Mary bringing stuff to me, and I would get knocked out constantly. But I've been lucky. I did have a little bit of a stomach bug the other day, but I think it might have been something I ate. So, you know, coming back to the house, even with all the great stuff that my parents did, you know, there's still a lot that needs to be done. But while we were gone, I kind of got, like, a rejuvenated desire to kind of make the house nicer, and especially the backyard. We watched a lot of, like, Yard Crashers and I Hate My Backyard type shows on DIY while we were gone. And my wife had kind of explained a plan to me that I didn't quite get before, but now it makes sense, and I'm looking forward to moving in that direction and kind of figuring that stuff out. Our upstairs living room's kind of a total mess right now. I had brought stuff up to be gone through, and then just a bunch of stuff happened, and so none of us are quite sure what the status of anything is. We still have Lucy's old little bed in the living room, and it's just kind of that room, until we actually put furniture in it or figure out what the heck we're going to do with it, I just feel like it's either going to be empty and fairly pointless, or just like half little tiny sitting area for the kids to watch the TV while I make dinner, and half like storage area. It's just, it's a weird situation to have such a big room and not know how to even remotely deal with it. We both love the idea of, in the future, talking to a designer and having him check out our top floor and just seeing, like, what can be done to make it more workable. It's got this dumb fireplace with this terrible tile and all this old carpeting, and the rooms don't really seem right, so we'd love to just kind of open the whole thing up, but, you know, we don't really know how to do that, and there's no budget to do it right now. So it'll be something that we eventually get to. But in the meantime, I want to at least get it a little bit more picked up, a little bit more livable or useful, aside from storage. Because we have the garage, and as much as I want to get them cleaned up and cleaned out, you know, that's kind of what the garage is for. Let's use that for storage. I can't exactly remember what I said on the last podcast. I think I talked about this, but I did get the garage cleaned out, not out, but cleaned up pretty well, kind of organized and all this stuff. And then Em wanted to find the baby books, and so we tore a bunch of stuff apart to find the baby books. But the thing that she wanted wasn't in the baby books, and so then we kept looking in other places. So between that and just the kind of general acquisition of more stuff, it became less organized again. But, you know, again, it's the kind of thing that I can probably knock back out in a couple hours on a weekend, but I need that time. So I'm hoping this week to kind of split my time between work and getting the house back in a little bit better shape, kind of taking a little bit more pride in it. I mean, we live here, it's nice, but we don't want to treat it like a storage locker. one of the reasons that I haven't actually gotten more into that is that today I'm recording this on the 30th, which is my parents' anniversary. Happy anniversary, by the way. I'm sorry I forgot earlier when you were here, but I got very little sleep for a reason I will get to shortly. Before leaving for vacation, I was writing a post on poppapa.com about a kid's graphic novel, I believe, and called Merman. That's really cool. So I'll link to that in the show notes for this episode. I try to read, even if Lucy's not really into him yet or ready for him yet, I try to read some different kinds of graphic novels being put out for the all-ages crowd just to kind of have a good idea for her and Jack later on. Or just in general suggestions, because people do ask me about that kind of stuff, like what comics are good for kids of different ages. So anyway, I read it, and I was looking on their website for something when I saw that they had an open submission for comic book pitches. Now, comic books, the industry is kind of crazy in that people get in for any manner of ways. You can, you know, write and draw your own webcomic that you post on your blog or your website or your Tumblr or even your Twitter, whatever. And then other people write in other mediums and come in, or, you know, graphic designers come in through the art thing. For a while, I've understood that it's actually quite a bit easier for an artist to kind of show their stuff. There's setups at conventions where they'll look at, it's called portfolios, where you bring your artwork and editors from different comic companies will look at it and let you know kind of like what you can work on or what areas you can improve on or where you're doing really well, that kind of thing. But for writers, it's a little bit harder, and kind of the general consensus from everybody is like, well, you've just got to make your own comic. Now, I may have said this before, but it bums me out that you've, in order to prove that you can write a comic, you've got to prove that you can make a comic, which is basically like, in the film business, proving that you can be a screenwriter by producing a movie. Not just directing it, but producing it, because you've got to come up with the funds to pay the artist if you're not an artist yourself, or if you're lucky enough to know one who wants to work with you, whatever, however that works out. But, and then to get the inker or the colorist or the letter, like all this stuff on board, just to prove that you can write. So I appreciated and got really excited by the fact that Oni Press was doing an open submissions where you could just do a pitch as a writer. And so before vacation, I saw this and I realized that I have this one idea that I had kind of scripted out as a 6-issue series with potential for more. And I had, you know, printed the whole thing out and just had kind of let it sit so I could kind of walk away from it and come back to it fresh. Well, I've been working on this other graphic novel project that kind of stalled out. Unfortunately, I just don't have an ending for it. So I had started thinking again about returning to this 6-issue series. And at the same time, I see the submission thing. So I took my notebook and my binder of printouts with me on vacation, read through the whole thing, made notes, and I had written down the guidelines for the submissions. And so I was going to kind of, I was tailoring things towards that. We got home, you know, Em's parents stayed another night. Things got kind of crazy with the kids, but I was able to kind of knock out a pitch, and I finally submitted it today. Today's the last day that it's due. So, and I know that it got accepted or received, I should say. And so now it's a waiting game. It says that they'll wait. It'll be about 60 days before I find anything out, but it just felt really good to get something done. I've kind of talked about and ranted about that idea that I just said about how it kind of stinks the way you're supposed to, you know, make comics to prove you can write a comic. But at the end of the day, you know, nobody cares. Nobody cares about my complaints about these things. They're not going to help me get anything done. So I've got to take what opportunities I can to try and see where I'm at. I don't want to be like a 50- or 60-year-old guy who's like still thinking like, I could be a comic book writer. If it doesn't happen in the relative future, I mean, it's probably time to hang up that dream or that idea. So actually finishing something like this pitch and getting it turned in, it felt really good. It feels really good. I mean, I just did it like an hour ago, so it's still pretty fresh. I'm still pretty nervous. But I think it's good to have a document like that, that I can, even if they don't want it, you know, I could show it to some other people and kind of see what's up. So it's nice to feel kind of fulfilled in like the creative sense, because I've been definitely feeling kind of, like slight or, unfulfilled or just like not a full person a lot lately. Everything's great, you know, with my family and my kids, and my work's actually going pretty good. But my work isn't necessarily what I want to do forever. I don't necessarily want to write about other people's comic books for the rest of my life. I want to write my own comic books if there's any interest. So as much as I appreciate my job, it's not ultimately what I want to do forever. So there's a little bit of dissatisfaction on that end. Again, not with the actual work, but, you know, you get the idea. And family stuff is great, though it is oftentimes quite difficult dealing with children. But having my parents here and my mom coming over every day is such a help. I'm really lucky right now in those areas. But now that, you know, we've gotten, you know, my parents have been out here for a while, I think like 8 or 9 months now, and things are really kind of flowing and we're getting in a good routine and it's summer. And Lucy actually graduated from her preschool, and she's going to move on to the next grade of preschool in a couple months. They had a really neat little ceremony thing, which was cool. But, you know, it's just I need to kind of start filling out my life a little bit more. I would love to make more friends. That sounds weird, and I don't know if it'll happen because I'm an incredibly shy person who doesn't necessarily step out of my comfort zone. But, like, it's just we hardly do anything. We are at the house, or there's not much of a social life. I very much miss my friends, you know, from around here, from the old wizard days, who have now scattered across the whole country, or you know, and some just further down into New York City or New Jersey, which at some times it feels like they might as well be across the country. So it's just been tough. I'm thinking about maybe trying to do something else, putting myself out there a little bit more, maybe seeing if there's any like local bands that need a bass player, or if there's like a group that I could get involved with or something like that. I don't know. I've got to look into it, but it feels like I need to do something else besides work, be in this house and be a parent and husband. And like all that stuff is great, but it's just, I think parents know what I'm saying. Like, you can have the best home life, but you want other things. You want to do other things. You want to get out and you want to meet other people and just kind of have fun and explore some of your other interests. So it felt good to actually get the pitch done, because that's definitely in line with that. And kind of maybe that will work as a launch pad into getting me to try a couple other things. Because, you know, even this is pretty outside my comfort zone. Although I will say that, like, submitting a digital document to a website that, you know, I know it'll be read by people, but it's kind of funny. Like, that's still intimidating, and, you know, I know that it's kind of in the system now, but it's less so than if I was actually, like, in the room or handing it to somebody. So it's all, you know, layers, I guess, but I'm looking forward to kind of branching out, hopefully, in the near future and kind of trying some other things and just seeing what else is out there, because I need a little bit more going on in my life than kind of what I've got going on. Not that any, like I said, not that any of it's bad, but, you know, I need a little bit more. So, but kind of back to the pitch for a second, I almost thought it wasn't going to happen because I had kind of set myself up to do it last night, and Jack had kind of fallen asleep kind of early, and Lucy was being really weirdly whiny. She hadn't napped, but she wound up staying up later than expected. So I just had to, like, separate myself from that situation. And I came in here and I was kind of knocking out the pitch. There was a bunch of different sections and requirements, and so I had kind of handwritten a lot of it or had written it in the past and edited different parts. And so I was just kind of putting everything together, and I had finished up and printed the whole thing out, and I was kind of down in my office, sitting on the futon with my clipboard and my printout and my red pen, and I was going through and reading, and I got about halfway through. I had heard Jack, like I said, he's been having some weird sleep things where he just gets kind of, like, mad. He doesn't want to nurse. Unfortunately, he's getting bitey when he nurses, which is obviously, I think, a pretty big no-no. So I know there's been some difficulty getting him to sleep there. But, you know, my wife was just crying. We're trying to not just constantly, like, feed him or do whatever. But the other thing is that, like, he just doesn't want to be comforted. He doesn't want to be held or patted usually or anything like that. So it's a little difficult to kind of figure out what to do with him. So I heard him kind of reacting, and I was like, oh, that's too bad. But, you know, she had him, and I figured it was okay. And then I heard Lucy wake up, and you know, one of the things that I've talked about on here and one of the reasons that I stopped sleeping in my office and started sleeping upstairs again was because it's not fair to have my wife take care of two children in the middle of the night. You know, if she's nursing Jack and Lucy wakes up wanting water or whatever, you know, that's obviously not fair. So both of us need to be up there. And so I went up. I knew she was dealing with Jack. I heard Lucy and I went up and she wasn't, I thought she was in our bedroom, but she was actually just like sitting on her bed kind of crying. I don't know if I explained this or not on the previous episode, but we actually switched out her little Sophia Princess bed for a real bed. It's actually the frame, not the frame, the headboard is actually the bed that I used when I was a kid. It's a, like a brass, there's a headboard and a footboard, but the frame we had could only support a headboard, but with the mattress and the box spring, it's like really high, and she's got the stepladder to get up into it. And at first she was like not into it at all. And then later that day she fell in love with it. So it worked out fine. And she's been doing really well in it, although she has rolled out a couple times. She doesn't seem to mind too much. I kind of go up, I pick her up and get her back in bed, and she's asleep in a few minutes. But that's very much how I was as a kid, as far as rolling out of bed goes. So I got up and she's sitting on her bed kind of at the top of the little stairs that she uses to get in and out, and she's crying, and it was very confusing. I was pretty awake, but the wound up being a long night, so the details are fuzzy even to me, but she was crying, and I kept asking her why she was crying, and it was kind of like escalating a little bit, and she's like, I don't know. She had to go potty. She thought she had to go potty another time, but didn't. I kind of laid down next to her bed, but she wanted me to lay down with her in it, and I thought she'd fallen asleep, so I had switched to the floor just because it's a little, the bed is much bigger, but it's not super comfortable for both of us to be in there. So I got back in bed when she woke up, and it kept getting kind of crazy. So I thought maybe like a change of venue would help. I brought her downstairs, and so we just kind of watched TV for a little while. She dozed off, and I thought, great. It was probably about like 1 at that point. And so the whole thing started at midnight. We came down like around 1-ish. Or no, she fell asleep about 1:15, I guess. And after a little while, like I'd been watching Parks and Rec on Netflix because we watched a lot of it, but then missed like the last 2 or 3 or however many seasons. And I really like that show. So I've just been kind of like watching it when I have time or, you know, a little bit of free time, which doesn't happen very often. But I'd finished like the next episode. I was kind of keyed up after all this stuff. And then she woke up again. Like I had dozed off for like 10 minutes and she woke up again. And it was just this, you know, she was on one end of the couch. I was on the other. And she was just like crying and like breathing really heavy. And again, didn't know why she was crying. There was nothing like wrong. She didn't have like a stomach ache or anything like that. But it was just really strange. And I admit it, I was kind of freaked out a little bit because like, I know, you know, my wife said this, you know, preschoolers have like really big emotions and dreams can be super intense and all this stuff, but it just seemed like something else was going on or whatever. And, it was freaking me out a little bit, but I was able to get her calm down again. She moved from the couch to the blue chair, which worked out pretty well. And then she stayed awake for another like hour or so. We watched several more episodes of Parks and Rec, and she eventually fell asleep, although I was at one point wondering if she was going to outlast me, but she was just sitting there quietly, so I wasn't all that worried about it. But luckily, the kind of like freak out type thing and the panic was, I think, the scary part, is that she just didn't know what was happening. I asked her, and she said, I don't know, and I didn't want her to get too stressed out and have those, you know, negative physical reactions and all that kind of stuff. So it was tough. And we wound up being, I was up until about 3, a little after 3, 3:15 or so. And then woke up about 7:15. So I got about 4 hours of sleep. I took Lucy upstairs. Jack was up like immediately, but you know, I woke up wiped. I could have gone back to sleep for another, you know, couple hours probably, but you know, I had to watch the kids after Em went to work, and then my mom came over. I had told her about the pitch thing before she left yesterday, and, you know, she was excited, and she's always, her and my dad have always been super supportive of this crazy thing that I want to do. So when she came over, she asked how it went. I said I didn't really, you know, finish it, because, well, the kids' stuff, and so she actually has the kids over at their house now to kind of give me time to finish everything up. So I was actually really worried because I knew that it was due on the 30th, but I didn't necessarily know what time. And with all the craziness going on, I left my phone upstairs and I didn't want to leave to come into my office and even just refresh the website to see how much time was left. But luckily when I woke up and I finally did get into my office, I checked and it said that it was, you know, I had like 18 hours or something, which was great. And obviously enough time. I actually turned it in with like 15 hours left. And now that I have recorded this and turned the thing in, I think I might watch a movie and take a nap, because I started the day off, you know, after my mom got here, doing work and sending emails and trying to get that stuff going. The other thing that did was actually get my brain kind of moving a little bit. I've got a few assignments and kind of one bigger, longer term type multi-interview thing that I'm really just starting to put together now. So that's kind of cool. It's a cool different thing that I haven't really done in a while. That I'm excited about. So, yeah, things are going good. I'm excited about the pitch, and I will keep you guys posted. But again, like I said, it'll let me know in about 60 days. So we'll see how it goes. If you know anyone over there, want to point out the pitch to them, that'd be fine by me. I don't mind a little nepotism here and there. But I think that's a good place to kind of end this episode. If you want to check out the show notes for the Pop Papa Nabcast episode number 99, head on over to poppapa.com, which is poppapa.com. You can also check out my pop culture blog, United Monkey, which is monkee.com. I do comic and movie reviews over there, sometimes a few other things. And I am on Twitter at Papa Deitch, which is POPPADIETSCH. All right, gang. Have a good one.